Shall we bow our heads before we start a sermon? Heavenly Father, we pause a moment to thank you for the blessings that you give to us. We ask now that you'll be with us as we open your word and as we study what you've written here for us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were to ask you this question, what is the greatest privilege that God gives to his people? What would be your answer?
Breath of life.
Holy Spirit. Salvation. Donna? Salvation? Know him? What's the greatest privilege that you have? Privilege. Choice. Good? I heard it at the beginning. Prayer. The greatest choice that God has given you is prayer. A hotline directly into the throne of heaven without going through any other person, not even Christ. Do you realize that? God doesn't say, go to Christ and he'll take it to heaven. Where does he tell you to pray? Directly to the throne of God. It's called a hotline. You ever heard of the hotline? A few presidents back, had a hotline directly with the Kremlin. Communism was so dangerous at that time, there was a hotline that any issue that came up, the President of the United States and the President of Kremlin could have direct access to each other. How many of you have a direct line to the President of the United States? None. We have hotlines of different kinds. Even I had to have it in Thailand. My wife worked in the book room. And there was times I wanted to communicate directly to her and she wanted directly to me. No one else of the 1,000 students and teachers on campus had that hotline. It was direct connection with her. She could reach over and put that button anytime and get directly into my office. She had a problem. Honey, I need your help. I was there. We have a direct line with a God like that. We have a direct line with God. You know, some of you may not realize I'm the one that surely got me involved in this. I ended up being the one for the health fair to ask Food for Life, a big operation in Corona, for 100 loaves of bread every year. And I don't know how I did it, but some way or another, James Torres is a member of our Fontana Church, and some way or another, I got his direct line. I have tried a couple of times going through the secretary. Nothing. This year, I called up again. I thought, well, I'll try the secretary. I called. Wrong number. Change. Something else. Nothing. I still had that hotline number. I called directly. His son answered. I said, is James there? Yes, his dad. Put him on the line. I had direct access to him. Would you be willing to give another 100 loaves of bread to the Coltons? Sure. Why not? When do you want them? Friday. We'll have them for you. Direct line. You and I have a direct line to God. We don't have to wait and go through anybody else. So we can direct our prayers directly. Hebrews 4:16 tells us this. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes, Christ is involved with this. The one that has made it possible is Jesus Christ. And so we pray to the Father in the Lord's Prayer. What do you say? Dear Jesus, a lot of times I say, what's the Lord's Prayer say? Our Father, which art in heaven. Wow. we have the honor to be able to speak directly to God, our Creator and our Sustainer, the one that controls the entire universe. When you stop to think about how great God is, and He's willing to talk, I don't know how. Don't ask me. I'm not going to give you an answer. How can He communicate with every single person on the universe? We don't understand God. We don't. I was talking to Carlos one time on this, and I said, you know, the only thing I can think of is close resemblance. How many cells do you have in your body? Billions. How many of them are you in contact with right now? If I take a pen, is there anywhere on your body that I can push that you don't feel it? If you got any senses, unless you got some problem, you're going to feel it. You're in contact with billions of cells, and you know every single one. God created us that way, but He's greater. And He, some way or another, is able to give you a direct line to His throne. You can talk to Him right directly. You don't have to go through anybody else. So He has a blessing that is too great to comprehend. Jeremiah tells us what God wants us to do in chapter 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Isaiah comes through and adds a little bit more to it. Chapter 65, verse 24. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they yet speak, I will hear. Have you ever had your prayer answered before you ask? I've had things come up that I know had to be choreographed, if I can say it that way, had to be choreographed before in order to be answered when I asked. And God is able to do that. My favorite author, Mrs. White, says in Steps to Christ, page 54, prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse, where there are boundless treasures, unlimited. Now let me ask you a question. If we know all of this and we can go directly to God, ask Him for, how come we don't get an answer to all our prayers? How come God doesn't answer all of our prayers? Okay, but sometimes we pray. Have you ever heard anybody, oh, I'd love to have a new house. I'm praying for a new house. Anybody praying for a new car? This one's about to run out. We need a new car. Praying for a job? Somebody request this morning. Yeah, I'd like to have a job. Have you heard people pray for, if I could just get a little bit more money? I know somebody that's always talking to me about that. Do we pray for healing? Does it always happen? Does it sometimes not happen? Somebody mentioned this morning, thanks, Shirley, that we pray for a test. But have you ever prayed for a test when you haven't even studied for it? Isn't that asking a little bit too much? Lord, please help me pass this test. I haven't looked at the book yet. Why are our prayers not answered? The question is, are you praying for things that you want or for things that God wants? We so often begin to think of ourselves, what I would like, what I want. But we need to ask is, what is it that God wants? And that's a good question right now. What does God really want as far as this world is concerned? What's He after? John 3:16, what's He after? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that what? whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants to save the entire world. And if we're going to be in union with God, he'll answer any prayer that you ask to help save souls in his own way and his own time. He knows ahead of time. And he'll do it. He wants to save the whole world and invites us to join him in doing that. But so many times we get sidetracked and say, I'm not worried about them. I'm worried only about me. Like anything else, we're human. And as humans, we can even mess up on such a beautiful thing as prayer. Something so profound and so beautiful as prayer, and we still can mess it up. Our study this morning is taken from Matthew, as your scripture reading said, Matthew 6, 5 through 8, where Jesus exposes some of the problems in prayer that were rampant in his days. I'm not sure but what they aren't rampant today too. I think some of them are still having problems today. He spoke out against pretentious praying. And he calls them hypocrites. And who was it he talking about? Ouch. He was talking about the religious leaders. He was talking about our conference president, our pastor, our head elder, our elders. And he said, their prayers amounted to nothing. But they were the religious leaders. How could their prayers be so absolutely useless? Verse 5, if you read it. And when you shall pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites. Ouch, calling people hypocrites in prayer. Ouch, strong language. They love to stand in the synagogues at the corner of the street. Why? They wanted to be seen of men. You know, you never know when a person is really honest or not. This pretension put on can be put on by anyone. We understand that very much today on con men. When a con man comes to you, does he come to you in dirty clothes, baggy, and hard language to understand? He'll come to you very, very elite. He really can get you into it, and he can con you into almost anything if you listen to him. You have to be very, very careful about what people are and who they are. We never know who and what's going to happen. Of all of the things that I've had in my life and my experience with our church, one of the worst ones that I went through was in San Bernardino Church when I was teaching here. I had the pastor's daughter in my class, eighth grade class. She was a AB student, and all of a sudden, one quarter, she dropped to straight F's. That's the only student that I ever gave grades to. I always recorded grades, but I knew something was wrong, and I gave her a C or a C minus to get her through. I fudged the grades. It's the only time I've ever done it in my whole life. I knew something was wrong. As it went through the year, and I tell you, that pastor, her dad as a pastor, was one of the best preachers our church had. I was young, just beginning my ministry, just teaching, and came up close to the end of the year, and the elders of the church were smart enough to know something was going on. They could not find out. They could not do it. They actually had to hire a private detective. What they found out was he was disappearing every night and going out with his Bible worker. He would come back home at about 6 o'clock in the morning, take a shower, walk out the door as if he was coming out from home, and go about his ministry business. But the big thing that got me, of course, immediately they questioned him, challenged him. He immediately left his wife and his daughter that was in my eighth grade class, two children, and left the church, turned in his credentials. But the thing that got me the most was a few weeks later, a few months later, we finally got a letter from this great pastor. I thought he was good. I thought his sermons were great. Got a letter from him. It says, please take my name off of your church books. I am tired of living a hypocritical life for the last 32 years. Pretense. Faking and acting something while you are something else. God hates that. He does not want you to pretend. He wants you to be honest and straightforward. And then he will work with you on the things that you do. And you don't have to go down to the street corner and pray. Jesus says that they have their reward when they pray for that. Okay, if you want to be pray and be in fun and be seen of men, okay, you've got your reward. You're through. You're not going to get any more. Ouch. Ouch. Their prayers had become ritual. Prayers were scripted. A form set. Sometimes over in Orient, I go to temples, and they will have what we call joss sticks. You ever heard of them? Joss sticks. You get a bunch of sticks, and you sit there, and one of them will drop out. It will be a prayer that you can offer, scripted. It's only written out. It's not from the heart. It's only what you have coming through there. Many of their prayers were memorized or read aloud. Predetermined prayers. Some people seem to have a prayer, some churches have a prayer for every conceivable life event. You can pray for this, that, and they'll have a prayer for you. Just tell them what it is and they'll give you a prayer for it. It's almost like the Christmas card. You ever think of getting your Christmas cards, these ones that are sent to you in the mail? Every one of them. They're different, and yet they're all phrased. They're there. They're pre-programmed. Most of the time, a lot of people pray from the head, not from the heart. Many of them at that time had a set time to pray. Sometimes we have churches still today that have a specific time that they pray. You know some of the religions, they'll have their prayer mats with them. They don't care whether they're in the marketplace, on the street, wherever they are. When it comes that time, lay out your mat, get down and start praying. Pray out loud so everybody can hear you, so that you have that. Now, is it wrong to have a set time to pray? No. What did Daniel have? He had a set time to pray, but was he out in the middle of the street? He was in his home. Opened his window. At that time, they felt like it was good to open their window that faced toward Jerusalem because they wanted so much to go back home. And he prayed three times a day. And he wouldn't stop praying even when it was a threat of death. Not wrong to pray that, but how? Long prayers. You know how some people get into praying and you go on and on and on. My knees are getting hard. I had to laugh one time in Hawaii. We had a member of another church that came over and was talking to us. Can't even tell you what group. It was a youth group that he belonged to. And they had a big youth group in Hawaii. All the youth were there and from all over the United States. And of their organization, all the big shots were there. Well, of course, who got to do the preaching? The big shots did. And he was one of the other smaller ones, younger ones. And he said each time that one of his group got up, they gave them the privilege of offering a prayer for the meal. The kids would come in, and they all were told to stand behind their chair. And then the preacher would preach, not pray. He didn't have the chance to give a sermon, so he gave it in a prayer. And he'd go on and on and on. And this guy was smart enough. He was watching it. Came his time. And he looked out, and he says, all the kids, all these young people got up, and they stood behind the chair, got in a good stance where they could stand there for a long time. And he says, I got up, and I said, Lord, what do I say to this group? And he said, before he knew it, the prayer came out of his lips. Dear Lord, bless this bunch as we munch our lunch. Amen. The whole place exploded. Young people that were there, let's listen to this sermon. No. Straight to the point. Did he get the point across? Bless this bunch as we munch our lunch? Right on. I mean, he was there with it. Sometimes we go to elaborate prayer trying to bring adjectives in of all of the extolling God in all of the different areas. And they did that. Many prayers were comprised of meaningless repetition, added adjectives. Do you know where we got the idea of having kites? Where did that come from? Anybody know? Anybody know where we got kites from? Who was the first one to make kites? Huh? Chinese. Chinese. Now, why? You know what the Chinese did and why it first started? The Chinese felt that if they exposed a prayer to heaven, it got more merit. They figured out a way to form these kites that would be like a wheel spinning. But on that, they always wrote their prayers. And then they got them up in the sky so that that could rotate around. And every time it rotated around, the prayer would be there. They would get more merit. That's where it started. I hope we don't do it here for that purpose so that we have it. But God desires that our prayers should be of a type that is personal communication with Him. You're talking to God one-to-one as a person and communication. Jesus tells us then how to pray. How to pray. Verse 6. Let's go to verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. God is not interested in a show. He wants the heart. And the heart is the one that goes. Real prayer is a priority. How many of you make it a definite priority to pray every single day? Jesus does not say, if you pray, but he says, when you pray, it's a priority. Communion with God should be the highest priority of each day. How many of us start the day off and we get up late, hit the alarm clock, and we're on our way, and we don't even take time to ask God to be with us? You will never grow in your spiritual life beyond the depth of your prayer life. Prayer life should not be just one time. We should be in an attitude of prayer all day long, every step of the way. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Like young people turn and say, I can't sit down on my knees and pray all the time. God isn't saying that. Be in an attitude of prayer. You can pray while you're working. You can pray while you're driving. You can pray. I can pray right now while I'm talking to you. I can offer a prayer up. Real prayer is personal. When you pray in a private place, you can then open your heart to God and talk to Him about things that no other being needs to hear. We can humble ourselves before Him and can be who we really are. And we don't have to go through any priest or pastor or anybody else. Of all of the things that I have enjoyed about my relationship with Vi was her prayer life. Vi was a prayer warrior. even our kids and people that know her well enough said, beware if Vi starts to pray. I found this out one time in San Bernardino. It was quite an experience that we had. We had just bought a house. By the way, we bought the house. It was an older house. We bought it for the great sum of $7,500 for a three-bedroom house. Wow. Wow. But we weren't there too long, a couple of years, and it rained a little bit. And Vi came in and says, honey, there's a leak in the back room. I checked out, and there was a nice, the roofing was beginning to deteriorate and go. She says, I'm going to pray that God doesn't send any more rain. And that's the rain, it was supposed to be rainy season. We didn't get any rain. We went to Sabbath School Church the next week, and one of my students, Hal Willis, came up to happened to be talking somewhere, and Vi overheard him, says, we don't understand it. Grandpa says we're having a terrible time. There's no rain, and if we don't get rain, we're not going to get a crop to feed our cows to get the Victoria Guernsey milk. And Vi looked at him and says, well, I know why it's not raining. And he says, why? I'm praying. My roof leaks, and I can't have it rain. That was Vi. And it didn't rain. The next week, something came up. They again mentioned, boy, we still have had another week and no rain. And she came home and she felt, you know, I feel kind of badly. She says, I think I'll change my prayer. Lord, let it rain, but don't let my roof leak. Sure, the Lord's going to put his hand right down there and hold that hole so it doesn't leak through, you know. And she said, she started praying that way. The next morning, Sunday morning, we were sitting there eating breakfast. We were a little late Sunday morning, and all of a sudden, great big ka-thump on our front, over our front door. And I thought, what in the world? Another one, ka-thump! And I thought, what in the world is going on? I went to the front door and I opened it up. Back end of a great big dump truck backed up right against my front door. And the guys were on it throwing the roofing material up on the roof. And I opened the door and walked out and I said, what in the world is going on? And the guy says, I don't know. I work for Victoria Guernsey. And the boss told me to come down here and help all of the eighth grade fathers put a new roof on your house so it can rain. We got an entire roof in one day. I mean, they piled it up there. He got up there and stripped off the line, and those workers started working, and we went right on down through the line. Came about 11 o'clock. I was got out and started helping them. About 11 o'clock, I was in the backyard doing something, and Vi came out and says, honey, what are we going to do? I said, what's wrong? She says, all these worker men here, it's coming up lunchtime. We're not going to have enough food. There's no way we have food in the house to feed them. We hardly had enough to feed ourselves. At that time, I was scratched bottom. Wage salary at that time, by the way, for all of you, $300 a month for a full-time teacher salary. And so we were tight, and we didn't have that much food in the house to feed 10 men. And she turns and starts, she says, okay, I'll claim God's promise. All your needs shall be, I shall supply all your needs. And she started praying, walked in the house. She walks in the house, and the front doorbell rings. And she goes open the door, and here is a lady standing there. Here is the first casserole that's coming. The eighth grade class is putting the roof on. I had seventh and eighth grade class. The seventh grade parents are providing the meal. And after that, I tell you, we had a banquet. Enough to feed 10 men and more. It was all provided. That was Vi's prayer life. She just kept going that way. Verse 7 and 8. gives us some conditions regarding personal prayer. If you read it real carefully, put it in my words, we are to refrain from meaningless repetition like the heathens do. We got to remember, our prayer, it is not the length of the prayer that counts. It's not the eloquence of the words. This reminds me, eloquence. Some people try to make it real oratorio. In the olden days, orators used to go around the country. They memorized poems, and they would give them on the stage. The Light Brigade, Highway Robin, and so forth. They would recite by memory. One orator was out on one of these trips in a theater there and having it, and he was smart enough. He knew almost all the poems of that day. So he asked the audience, he said, call out anything that you want me to, and I'll repeat it. Some man down on the front row turned around and raised his hand and says, would you recite Psalms 23? He was, he kind of gulped. All right, he said, I'll do it under one condition. I will recite it as long as after I get through, you come up and recite it also. And the man says, fair enough, I'll do it. Orator got up there and begins, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He went through it in great thing, you know, flowing words, made it sound great. Gets through and the audience just really went to pieces on it. Great job. He turns around to the man and says, now it's your turn. Come up and recite it. He comes up and he begins, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he starts going on through very quietly, very honestly. When he got through, the audience was absolutely still, spellbound, quiet, reverence. The orator stepped up and says, I know Psalms 23. This man knows the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd? That is what counts in prayer. That is what counts in prayer. You need to know the shepherd. Even the contents of our prayers are not. It's our attitude. It's our motive. Even if you watch TV today, all of the shootings, all of the things, what's the very first thing that the police say? What are they looking for? Not murder. Motive. I thought, thank you. Right on. They are looking, what is the motive? God looks at your prayer and says, what is your motive? Why are you praying for this? For a selfish reason or for the gain of God's kingdom and for him? We are to develop a relationship with God. He knows what we need even before we ask. And he's concerned about meeting those needs. But he wants to hear us express our love for him. How many of you like to hear your children say, I love you? You know, one of the things I still appreciate, old as he is now, my son, Cliff, every time I get through talking to him, it still gets me. When he gets to the end of it, he says, love you, Dad. Even though he's ready for retirement, he still says, I love you, Dad. It gets me. Our Heavenly Father feels the same way. He wants to hear you say, I love you, God. I love you. He wants us to depend upon him. Vi's favorite text was, I have Philippians 4:13 on that one that we get. And then she had Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He wants us to develop our faith in him. Why? Then he can demonstrate his love, his power, his glory, providence, sovereignty, and provision for his children. Basically, we are to have a conversation. What's a conversation? How many people does it take to make a conversation? Two. Ever be in a conversation where it's only one-sided? There's some people you talk to. The other day, I was talking to somebody, and I said something. You could tell it didn't make a bit of difference what I said. They didn't hear me. They just kept right on talking. You ever do that in prayer? Do you ever stop and listen? Do you stop and listen to God? Two people. We do a lot of talking. We do a lot of praying, but do we do any listening? Listen for God to give you an answer. I've got a story to read. I'm going to read it because listening to God is something else. And I can't do justice to this story. There's no way I can do justice to it. I've got to read it because it's so good. Let me read this as we kind of come up to the end here. A young man had been to a Wednesday night prayer meeting, Bible study, rather. The pastor had shared about listening to God and obeying his voice. The young man couldn't help but wonder, does God still speak to people? After service, he went out with some friends to get something to eat, and they discussed the message for the evening. Several different ones talked about how God had led them in different ways. It was about 10 o'clock when the young man got in his car and started driving home. Sitting in the car before he started off, he just began to pray, God, if you still speak to people, speak to me. I will listen. I will do my best to obey. Be careful when you pray that. As he drove down Main Street on his town to go home, he had the strange thought to stop and buy a gallon of milk. He shook his head and said out loud, God, is that you? He didn't get a reply, so he kept going right on, started on home. But again, the thought came to him, stop and buy a gallon of milk. The young man thought about Samuel and how he didn't recognize the voice of God and how little Samuel ran to Eli. Okay, God, in case that is you, I will buy the quart of milk, a gallon of milk. It didn't seem too hard to test of obedience because he could use the milk if he needed to. He stopped, purchased the gallon of milk, and started off toward home. As he passed 7th Street, he again felt, turn down that street. This is crazy, he thought, and drove on past the intersection. Again, he felt that he should turn down 7th Street. At the next intersection, he turned back, went back to 7th Street, and turned down the street. Half jokingly, he said out loud, okay, God, I will. He drove several blocks when suddenly he felt like he should stop. He pulled over the curb and looked around. He was in a semi-commercial area of town. It wasn't the best, and it wasn't the worst of the neighborhood either. The businesses were closed, and most of the houses looked dark, like the people were already in bed. Again, he sensed something. Go and give the milk to the people in the house across the street. The young man looked at the house. It was dark and looked like the people were either gone or they were already asleep. He started to open the door and then sat back in the car and said, Lord, this is insane. Those people are asleep, and if I were to wake them up, they're going to be mad and I will look stupid. Again, he felt like he should go and give them the gallon of milk. Finally, he opened the door. Okay, God, if this is you, I'll go to the door. I'll give them the milk. If you want me to look like a crazy person, okay. I want to be obedient. I guess that will count for something. But if they don't answer right away, I'm out of here. He walked across the street, rang the doorbell. He could hear some noise inside. A man's voice yelled out, who is it? What do you want? Then, before the man could even answer or move away from the door, it opened, and the young man could not get away. The man was standing there in jeans and a t-shirt. He looked like he had just gotten out of bed. He had a strange look on his face, and he didn't seem too happy to have a stranger standing on his doorstep. What is it? The young man thrust out the gallon of milk. Here, I brought this to you. The man grabbed the milk, rushed down the hallway, leaving the door wide open. Speaking loudly in Spanish, and then from down the hallway came a woman carrying the milk toward the kitchen. And right behind him was the man following, holding a small baby. The baby was crying. The man had tears streaming down his eyes, face. The man began speaking and half cried. We were just praying. We had some big bills this month and we ran out of money. We didn't have any milk for the baby. We were just praying and asking God to show us how to get the milk. The wife in the kitchen yelled out, I asked God to send an angel for some milk. Are you an angel? The young man reached into his wallet, pulled out all the money he had on him, put it in the man's hand. He turned and walked back toward his car with tears streaming down his face. He knew that God had answered his prayer. Do you hear God? Do you answer his prayer? As we come to the conclusion, be honest with God. Don't be a hypocrite. God knows your heart. Don't try to impress others with your prayers. Develop a personal life with God. Listen to him. Have a conversation with him. My latest one was with Vi's death. Carmi was there. One of the things that Vi and I discussed, she did not like pain pills. She didn't want it. And the last day, when she was there, the nurse came in unexpectedly. She came in. Carmi was beside her. And they sat there and she took her signs and she said, vital signs are good. And she went on talking. And she says, now at this stage of the game, we usually give morphine shots. And I turned around and immediately I thought of Vi. She was not in any pain. She wasn't thrashing. And I knew what her feeling was. And I said to myself in prayer, quietly, Lord, she doesn't want any morphine. I no sooner than said that. Then the gal turned around and said, uh-oh, her vital signs have changed. Vi opened her eyes. Sadie looked straight at him and says, hi, Francis. I took two more breaths and was gone. God answers prayer. Sometimes immediately. Be open to God. Be willing. Once we honor God in our prayer life, he will bless us in a tremendous way. Jesus gave the disciples a model prayer. Prayer, sometimes we like long prayers. You know how long it takes to offer the Lord's Prayer? Read it. Less than 30 seconds. That's the model prayer. I want you to, they put it in song. I want this group to come up and sing it this time for our closing song.
As we sing the song, may the words be on your heart and your mind, that God will provide for all your needs. Just
thy will be done.
Time dismiss us, but not from your presence. We pray in Jesus' name.